And the first rule of life is this: the world does not revolve around you. Now, I know that's shocking, but the world does not revolve around you. You're very special in God's eyes. You were created for a purpose, but the world does not revolve around you. If you want to know how much you'd be missed, stick your hand into a bucket of water and pull it out and see what kind of hole you leave. It fills up pretty quick. Pretty quick.
Thanks for joining us today here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Do you ever find yourself surviving but not thriving? That's because we usually take care of our physical necessities, but it's so easy to neglect our spiritual and emotional needs. As we continue this series, Essentials for Living, Pastor Rick is going to give you the insight and the tools you need to live a balanced life where you'll thrive and not just survive. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource you can take with you wherever you go. It will provide practical answers to any dilemma facing you. You can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to today's message. Again, text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How to Connect with People.
Have you ever been in one of those conversations where you just weren't connecting? You're doing everything you can to make sense, and no matter how hard you try, you're just not getting through to that person. You may be talking to a teenager and they think you're from another planet. You may be talking to a child. You may be talking to your husband or wife or an employee, but for one reason or another, it just isn't connecting. One of the deepest needs that you have in life is the need to be understood. We all desperately need to feel that somebody understands us, that somebody can feel what we're feeling, can think what we're thinking. We all need people who connect with us. And if you don't ever have anybody that in your life that you feel connected to like that, it has all kinds of negative effects. I mentioned a couple weeks ago this California Department of Health mental study. It's so profound, I want to mention it again. They discovered that if you're disconnected from other people and there's nobody in your life that you really feel understands you, you are 2 to 3 times more likely to die from an early death. You are 4 times more likely to suffer from emotional burnout. You are 5 times more likely to suffer clinical depression. And you are 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for an emotional or mental disorder. Human connections are good medicine. You need them. They're not just something that's nice to have in your life. You need them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You need people who understand you, who relate to you, and who can connect to you. Now, last week we talked in this series about the importance of being spiritually connected to a church family. But even if you are connected to a church family, if you don't know how to connect to people one-on-one, you can still feel detached. You can feel still feel disconnected. So today, Tom and I are going to do a message called How to Really Connect with People. How to connect with them on the deepest level. Now, this is one of life's most important skills. Learning how to really connect with people on a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul, fellowship level. Unfortunately, nobody ever teaches us how to do this. It certainly isn't taught in school. How to relate interpersonally. You learn science and geography and math and history and a language in school, but nobody teaches you really how to connect with people. And if you don't know how to connect with people, you're not going very far in life. It's just that simple. You may be brilliant in some subject, but if you don't know how to connect with people, you're just not going to go very far in life. It is the most basic skill you need, how to deal and how to relate with other people. Now, these 6 principles that we're going to share today, I'm very excited about because every one of you in this room need this material. Doesn't matter what age or stage in life you are in. If you are a parent and you want to know how to better connect with your children, you're going to use these principles. If you are engaged or married and you want to know how to better relate to that other person, that spouse, you can use these principles. If you are a teacher or an employer or an employee, no matter who you are, if you need to get close to anybody in life, you need these principles. In fact, these would be good rules for a small group. And we have over 2,000 small groups at Saddleback. These would be guidelines for how you should react and relate in a small group. Now, to get the most out of today's message, at the start, I want you to think of somebody that you would like to be closer to. Think of somebody that you would really like to connect on a deeper level with than you're connecting with them right now. In fact, in order to make this specific, I want you to write down their initials somewhere on your outline. Now, I don't see any of you doing this. So I'm going to just wait right now. If you can't think of somebody, you really need this message. Believe me. If you can't think of anybody you'd rather be closer to, you need this message. So write their initials or write them backwards. Nobody's going to look at it anyway. Who would you like to get closer to? Who would you like to have a deeper connection with? Some of you, it needs to be somebody you need to reconnect with. Maybe reconnect with a child, or reconnect with a parent, or reconnect with a former friend and somebody who's been in your life. Very important. You see, it's possible to get disconnected too, once you have been connected. A lot of marriages do this. Most marriages start off close and connected, but somehow over time they just get disconnected. It's very easy to get disconnected, and it's hard to get reconnected. What do you do? The first key to connecting is this: be courageous. You must be courageous and take the initiative. What I mean is you've got to be willing to take the first step. You don't wait on somebody else to connect with you. You must take the initiative to connect with them. Now, this often takes courage. Why? Because it's fear that disconnects human beings.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called How to Connect with People from our series called Essentials for Living. The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
How can you cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, have peace of mind? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. Rick offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, so you can move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, in each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Go to rickwarren.org right now, or call 800-600-5004. You can also text the word daily to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
The first key to connecting is this: be courageous. You must be courageous and take the initiative. What I mean is you've got to be willing to take the first step. You don't wait on somebody else to connect with you. You must take the initiative to connect with them. Now, this often takes courage. Why? Because it's fear that disconnects human beings. When we're full of fear and anxiety, we don't get close to each other. In fact, we back off of each other. We're afraid of what? We're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid of being manipulated. We're afraid of being vulnerable. We're afraid of being hurt. We're afraid of being used. And all of these fears cause us to be disconnected in life. Now, this fear is as old as mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned and God came looking for Adam, Adam said, "I was afraid and I hid." And people have been doing that ever since. We are afraid, and so we hide. We hide our true selves. We don't let people know what we're really like. We don't let them see the inside of us. Why? Because if we let people know what we're really like and they don't like it, we're up a creek without a paddle. It's tough luck. I mean, why am I afraid to tell you who I am? because if I tell you who I am and you don't like me, I'm in for it. I have no alternative. And so we wear masks and we pretend. And fear does three terrible things to relationships. Number one, it makes us defensive. We're afraid to reveal ourselves and we defend ourselves. And when people point out weaknesses, we just retaliate and we defend ourselves. Number two, our fears keep us distant. We don't let people get close to us. We want to withdraw. We want to pull back. We want to hide our emotions. We don't want to be open and honest. But we become defensive and distant. And third, our fears make us demanding. Whenever we're insecure, the more insecure we are, the more we try to control things. And so we try to have the last word in a relationship, and we try to dominate, and we try to control. And it is always a symptom of fear, of insecurity. Now, where do you get the confidence, the courage, to take the first step in connecting with someone, to going to a deeper level of intimacy? Where do you get that kind of courage? You get it from God's Spirit in your life. Look at what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong. That's courageous. And to love them and enjoy being with them. How do you know when you're filled with God's Spirit? Simple. One of the ways is you're more courageous in your relationships. You love people, you enjoy being with them, you're not afraid of them because God's Spirit is in your life. Now, the Bible says God is love. And the Bible says love casts out all fear. So when the more of God you have in your life, the less of fear you're going to have in your life, because God is love and love casts out fear. So the starting point in connecting with anybody is to pause and pray. Say, God, give me the courage to take the first step. Some of you need to do that this week with a person you need to connect with. Give me the courage to take the first step, to take the initiative. The second key to connecting is to be considerate. To be considerate of their needs. In other words, if you want to connect with people, you have to start with their needs, not your own. You have to start with their hurts, not your own. You have to start with what they want, not what you want. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, seek to understand before seeking to be understood. And the Bible talks about this in the same way, that you need to first be thoughtful of others. And don't worry about people understanding you. First, you try to understand them. And that's how you make that initial connection. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, look out for one another's interest, not just your own. Now, friends, that is such a counterculture verse. Because everything in our culture, from the moment you were born, you were conditioned to think first of yourself. You don't think about other people, naturally. That's something you have to learn to do. You naturally think about your needs, your desires, your goals, your ambitions, and what you want in life. I got to do what's best for me. I got to think of me first. And as a result, we have many, many millions of people disconnected because everybody's thinking of themselves and not being considerate of each other's needs. This last week I was watching TV, and during about a 2-hour period, I saw three commercials with the same byline, you deserve it. It was the byline, you know, buy this shampoo, you deserve it. Buy this great car, you deserve it. And we are taught, you know, that we are the supreme value in life. Now, let me teach you two very basic truths about life. The first one may surprise you, but it is true. And the first rule of life is this. The world does not revolve around you. Now, I know that's shocking, but the world does not revolve around you. You're very special in God's eyes. You were created for a purpose, but the world does not revolve around you. If you want to know how much you'd be missed, stick your hand into a bucket of water and pull it out and see what kind of hole you leave. It fills up pretty quick. Pretty quick. And so the world does not revolve around you. So don't be expecting the whole world to come and just saying, how can we meet your needs? Because it's not. The second basic truth of life you need to learn is this. God has promised that when you focus on meeting the needs of other people, He guarantees He will meet yours. So you want your needs to be met? Simple. Start focusing on meeting the needs of other people. God says it over and over in the Bible, that if I focus on meeting the needs of other people, God assumes responsibility to meet all of my needs. Why? Because He wants me to learn to be unselfish. He wants me to learn to be loving. He wants me to learn to be generous like Him. Colossians 3:13 says this, you must make allowances an allowance for each other's faults. And forgive the person who offends you. Remember, God forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, part of being considerate of other people's needs is making allowances for their faults. Part of being considerate of other people's needs is not expecting them to be perfect. You're not perfect. You could never attain perfection, so why would you demand it of anybody else? Nobody is perfect. I read recently a woman wrote to Dear Abby, "Dear Abby, I'm 44 years old. I'd like to find a man my age with no bad habits." Abby wrote back, "So would I." Because there are no people with no bad habits, with no faults. And so we have to make allowance for each other's faults. Let me give you another verse. Proverbs 17:9 says, "Love forgets mistakes." Love forgets mistakes. When you are trying to make a connection with a person, you're trying to be considerate of their needs, it's not that you are blind to their faults, it's that you choose to overlook them. Great friends have good forgetters. They forget the bad stuff, intentionally. And they don't rub it in, they rub it out. You know, they just keep on, you know, like I said, they have good forgetters because love forgets mistakes. A good friend never says, "I told you so." A good friend never says, "How could you be that stupid?" Instead, a good friend is considerate of the other person's needs. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
Third way to connect with people is to be constructive with your words. Take your words and use them to build people up. As it says in this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." In that verse, would you circle building others up? God wants us to take these words and use them to build people. I was thinking about building this week, and I recalled earlier in our marriage, Shondell and I had a home that was flooded. And we had groups of people come in and help us rebuild that home, which was a wonderful thing. Something pretty funny happened with the first groups that came in. Before we could build the walls back up, we had to tear the sheeting off of the walls. So the first people that came in, we gave them sledgehammers, we'd send them into a room, and they had to knock the walls down, and we'd walk out of the room. We'd start hearing this laughter in the room while they were knocking the walls down, because you know what? If you got a sledgehammer and you can just swing it and knock something down, it's sort of fun. And Shondell and I would walk back in the room and they'd look all sad again because it was our house after all. And then we'd walk back out and they'd just start swinging away again. It's fun to tear things down. And sometimes with our words, it's like a sledgehammer. No planning, no thinking. We just swing away. And then all of a sudden we look around and all we've got is, we've got a pile of rubble around us. Relational rubble. Because when you just swing away with your words and just tear people down with your words, inevitably, your relationships are gonna suffer from that. Words are the single most important tool given to man by God. Without a doubt. Back in the book of Genesis in the Bible tells us that a place called Babel, they were trying to build a tower to reach as high as heaven. They're getting pretty prideful about it, so God wanted to stop the project. To stop the project, he didn't take away their hammers or their saws. He took away their words, their ability to communicate, because they're such an incredibly important tool that God's given us. One of the reasons that we're not constructive with our words is we don't realize how powerful this tool is, our mouth, the words that God has given to us. We say things without thinking, and people remember them. You do. The things that people have said to you in a thoughtless way, it may have been as far back as grade school or college or when you first started work, you still remember some of those things. That's how powerful words are. So when it comes to your mouth, think of it as a power tool and be very careful with it. I went out in my garage yesterday and I grabbed this manual for a power tool, a power saw, and I was reading through the directions for the use of this power tool, and I was struck by how it related to the use of this other power tool that God's given us, our mouth. See if you think some of them relate to our mouth too. Number one, know your power tool. Number two, keep guards in place. That's a good one. Number three, be careful around children. Store idle tools when not in use. Don't overreach. And my favorite, never use in an explosive atmosphere. That fits with how we use this mouth, which is an incredible tool to build people up. So how can I start using it more carefully? How can I, if I got a power tool, how can I use it more carefully so instead of destroying with it, I'm building and constructing relationships with it? Well, I got to stop excusing. Stop saying that I didn't really mean to say that. Or stop saying it was just that blood sugar dip right before lunch. That's all that it really was. Stop excusing and realize what you say really is impacting everybody around you. I've got to talk less. If it's a power tool, you don't have to use it as much. So I can talk less. One of the reasons we get in trouble, wouldn't you admit, is we just talk too much sometimes. We talk before we think. I've got to talk less and I've got to listen more. When I listen more, I can understand people's needs. I was talking to Shondell, my wife, on the phone yesterday, and she was on the car phone, and as usual, about halfway through, it dropped out. So the phone rang again right away. I knew it was her and clicked on and said, "Hi, babe. Doug Field said..." "I've been waiting 7 years for you to say that to me," is what he said. I said, "You're going to have to wait another 7 years," is what I told him. I learned a little lesson once again. Listen before you talk. It's one of the small lessons of life that makes incredible impact in the way that you and I use our words. So stop excusing, talk less, and listen more, and through all of that, start building. Think first of all, what do they need? How can I use a word of encouragement to build them up? How can I use a word of challenge to make a difference in their life? How can I use my words to build the people that I love the most?
The fourth key to connecting is to be candid. To be candid about the problems in the relationship. In other words, you have to be open. You have to be honest. You have to be frank. Proverbs 24:26 says, "An honest answer is the sign of a true friendship." Now notice that being candid and being connected go together. You don't have one without the other. Being candid and connected. Because genuine, healthy, deep, meaningful relationships are built on honesty, not on flattery.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to rickwarren.org and listen online anytime or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. If you've ever asked, "How can I cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, or have peace of mind?" Let me tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, by Pastor Rick Warren. In it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. He offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, allowing you to move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, "In each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. To get your copy, go to rickwarren.org right now. That's rickwarren.org or call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. You can also text the word DAILY to 313131. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks so much for listening today. I want you to know what a personal blessing it is to me to be able to teach you each day. But I also want you to know, as a pastor, that I am concerned that you find a local church home. Listening to this broadcast is not enough to grow. You need to be in a local church family where you can do the 58 one another's of the New Testament. Love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, share with one another, greet with one another, and on and on and on. That's the mutual ministry of the body to itself. You can't do that just by listening. You've got to be a part of a family. If you're not sure how to find a church or a church that's right for you, then write to me, rick@rickwarren.org, and let me know that you want to find a good Bible-centered church. And I'll send you a simple tool called How to Find a Good Church. I know you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening, And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.